whatever will be a benefit in helping of us to concentrate our minds upon this act of worship, and that is looking into God's Word to see the things that are contained therein. Well, that's how our faith comes. It's how our faith is made stronger. And truly, I trust that all of us will have a desire of heart to not only hear the Word, but also to be doers as well. So good to see the presence of each and every one this evening. Still remember those that are sick and hope that they'll get over whatever the virus is and whatever they may have. But certainly it's good to see the presence of each and every one of you. You know, we are to take our being a Christian serious. And one of the ways that we show that we are serious is by taking responsibilities. And one of those responsibilities that we want to devote the time that we have to study this evening in is the Christian's responsibility to develop personal initiative. There was an old saying that we pull them out of the water after baptizing them and leave them on the riverbank and they die. They never develop personal initiative. Now, why is that so true of so many? And I'm sure there are those individuals that you have to come to your mind that certainly fit this description. So we ask that question, why is that so true of so many? That they obey the gospel, but yet they still do not develop what is so critical in their lives as Christians, and that is personal initiative. What do we mean by initiative? The word initiative is the ability to act on one's own. And I want us to make sure we understand that definition. It's the ability to act on one's own. That's what personal initiative is. Just exactly what is it that God expects? Well, God expects us to develop personal initiative. How do we know that? We know that because of such passages like Hebrews 6 and verse 1 begin. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Notice the parts of these verses that has to do with us being urged to carry on under personal initiative. He says, let us go on to perfection. That's something that we have to have a personal initiative for, or we'll never accomplish that. The other thing that's mentioned is, and this we will do if God permits. It's going to take personal initiative in order to go on to perfection. Hebrews 5, with verse 13 beginning, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. What we see in these two verses that indicates that there has to be initiative on our part is the statement that says, by reason of use. No one else can do that for us. We have to take it upon ourselves, that responsibility, that initiative, to put to use the things that we learn from God's Word so that by reason of use, then we will exercise our senses to where that we can discern, that we can distinguish between right and wrong, between good and between evil. Another passage, 2 Peter, in chapter 1, beginning with verse 5, but also for this very reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice he says, given all diligence. That is, given our devotion, given our time, given whatever energy it takes, given all diligence. As Christians, we need to have that initiative so that we add to our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly love. And notice what it says, that if you do these things, you will never stumble. So truly, to us to have initiative, we also talk about motive, don't we? What is the motive? Well, here a verse is telling us what a sure motive ought to be for us to give diligence and add to our faith these things that are mentioned in these verses. But also, 1 Corinthians, in chapter 16, we read in verse 13, watch and stand fast in the faith. Be strong, be brave. So it is then that here, in order for us to comply with what this verse is requiring, it's going to take initiative on our part. That is the will, the ability to act on our own. Also in Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That's for us to do. That's what God expects of us, is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And in order to accomplish that, we're going to have initiative, the ability to do it on our own. Also, it's in Revelation chapter 2 that we're told, fear not none of these things that you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It's going to take initiative on our part to be faithful unto death. That's not something that someone else can do for us. It's up to us. Let us have the ability to do this on our own, because that's the only way that we will be faithful unto death. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 22 that you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but it's he who endures to the end will be saved. So that endurance, that perseverance, that consistency of life each and every day that will help us to be faithful unto death is that which will help us to endure whatever it is. But again, it's going to take initiative on our own to do this which God expects of us. In Hebrews 10, we're told, of course, in verse 24, let us consider one another unto love, or to stir up love and good works. So let us consider one another. But still, as we consider one another and as we encourage one another, it still comes back to me. It still comes back to you. Our own personal initiative to do the things, accomplish the things that God expects of us. In Philippians 2, it's in verse 5 that we find, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And having been found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. We're told in this verse, let this mind be in you. Again, the only way that's going to happen is if we have an issue, so that the mind of Christ does become what our mind is a reflection of. God expects us to grow. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So we see then that God expects us to grow. He expects our faith not just to grow, but notice what the word is, grow exceedingly. And so it is then. That's one thing that God expects of us. And it's going to take initiative on our part for us to grow spiritually, to grow in faith exceedingly. Two, God expects us to go. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, I know that Mark 16, 15 is a statement that Jesus makes to the apostles. But the need for the preaching of the gospel is a need that every generation has. Every generation needs to hear the gospel. And it is us as Christians, since we no longer have those individuals that are inspired, such as apostles, such as prophets, such as those who through the laying on of the apostles' hands were able to receive miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit, still there is the need today for the gospel to be preached, for people to be saved from their sin. And so this will be a need that will always be required, and God expects of us to do that work. Each and every Christian must tell others of what they themselves have done in order to become a Christian. So we need to go and preach and teach the gospel to others. Also, God expects us to glow, I guess is the best word to put it. But Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 8 and verse 16, when he said, no one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand, that those who enter may see the light. This is a part of what Jesus was talking about when he said, we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. God expects us to glow through our influence, through our conduct of life, through the things that we speak with our mouth, through the places that we go, through every aspect of our lives on a daily basis. We need to let our light shine before others, in order that they not glorify us, but that they glorify God, that they see Christ in us, and that the life that we live is a life that they too will want to imitate, that they too will want to have their initiative sparked in order to live. We must serve as a light. That's what God expects of us. Two, God expects us to sow. Another example of the parable of the sower we read about in Mark chapter 4. And it's in those 20 verses that we see Jesus giving the parable of the sower. The sower went forth to sow. You and I are that sower. We never know what part of God's word we may say to an individual that may take root. It may sink into their hearts and in their minds. We realize that sometimes it goes in one ear and out the other, and that's what Jesus describes here in this parable. He describes seed that falls on the wayside. He describes seed that falls in the stony ground. He talks about seed that falls upon thorns. And then he talks about the good ground. Four different kinds of ground that Jesus speaks of. Only one of those four brings forth fruit unto God. Others, one didn't even start at all, but others started, they made an attempt, but yet because of thorns, because of stony ground, the word was not able to take root, or else the word was choked by the cares and the riches of this world. So let that help us to understand that we can't expect 100% positive response from those that we teach to them the gospel. It doesn't matter how close of a friend they are. It doesn't matter what are their family members. And these are the people that we would expect that would have open ears and open minds to what we would have to say, but it's not always true. And so let the parable of the sower cause us to realize that success rate is not always to be expected, and we don't need to become discouraged, because we need to still be the sower, the one that goes forth to sow. That's what God expects of us. And then, too, God expects us to show. In Psalms 92, verse 1, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. That's what we need to do. We need to show to the Lord the faith that we have in Him, the trust that we put into Him, to where that we can be, as David says here, to give praise to His name. The only way that we give praise to His name is, again, through the conduct, through the life that we live. Our life is either a praise, in a praising of God, or it's like the Hebrew writer says, it's trampling underfoot the Son of Man. Which is it? What is going to depend upon our initiative? Whether or not we're able to act upon our own and be, as the psalmist says, to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to His name, to declare His loving kindness, His faithfulness, all through every aspect of our lives. God expects us too to know. In 1 Thessalonians 4, we read in verse 2, "For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus." As Paul writes this letter to the church of Thessalonica, he says, you know the commandments. And so I'm sure it's true of every one of us as members here at East Albertville. We know the commandments that have been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. What God expects us to do is to know and to have the initiative to act upon that knowledge. Now, why God expects us to be all of these things is so that we'll be able to tell others what we believe. Tell others why we believe what we believe. That passage in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." As we've always stressed in the Bible studies on Wednesday evening in the adult class, it's not enough to just know what we believe. It's not enough to know that this is what we practice or this is what we don't practice. But it's extremely important that we're able to give answer both to ourselves and to others when we're asked as to the reasons why we believe or the reasons why we do not believe such or practice such. And that's what Peter is emphasizing here. We need to be at all times able to give an answer. But first and foremost, it starts with us. We have to be certain of the answer to the question of why do we do this? Why don't we do this? Why do we believe this? Why don't we believe this? If we ourselves do not know those answers, then we're not in any position to go out and to teach and to talk to others. We need to go back and do like the Hebrew writer says, and again, engage in the first principles. But that shows a lack of initiative on our part to grow. If we are Christian for any considerable length of time, we should have passed that stage. Where now we can go on and no longer require milk, which is what a infant requires. We need to be able, as Christians, to digest strong meat. But if we can't give answer to the question ourselves of why we believe or why we don't believe, then we're in no position to speak or talk to others. How can I do this? How can I be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a vision of the hope that is in me? Well, in 2 Timothy, it says in chapter 2 and verse 15, if you're reading from the King James Version, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you look at that passage in the New King James, it says, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want to consider also what the American Standard says. Give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. So we see what it is. How is it that we can do what Peter says? And that is, be ready to give an answer. Be ready to give a defense. What is going to be requiring diligence on our part? And again, we go back to the source of our study tonight, to initiative. It's up to us to have the initiative, to be diligent, to be one who is only concerned with one thing and one thing only. And that is to show themselves approved unto God. That's all we have to worry about. That's all we need to worry about. Is in our lives, in our actions, in the things that we say, and in every aspect of our life, is this something that I'm doing that will be approved of God? And the only way I can know as to whether or not something is approved of God is whether I do what the other part of the verse says, and that is either rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. God's word is all sufficient. It completely and thoroughly furnishes us unto all good works, 2 Timothy 3, verse 17. It is that which can pertain unto all things, unto life and godliness. So if I can, as a Christian, do and develop this responsibility to have this personal initiative, to show myself approved unto God, to rightly divide, to handle aright the word of God. That's how I can have answers to myself as to why I do or why I don't do something, and I can be able then to give answer to someone else. Well, it talks about being diligent. Be diligent to present yourself. Give diligence to present yourself. Let's look at some passages that helps us to understand what diligence is. In Psalms 55, verse 17, David said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. That's diligence. Not being hot one day, you know, faith, cold the next. You think David was that way? You think Daniel was that way in Daniel 6 that we read in verse 10? Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. The decree was that there would be no prayer to God until the God of Nebuchadnezzar was first worshipped. Then, after the God of Nebuchadnezzar was worshipped, then they were free to worship and do whatever to the God that they believed in. But Daniel not only did not give obeisance to the God of Nebuchadnezzar, he went about diligently his everyday life as he always did, knowing what he was doing was right, knowing what he was doing was pleasing unto the Lord, it would be approved unto God, and that's what Daniel did. That's diligent. That's Daniel giving diligence, and that's also David giving diligence. Diligence is persistence. Diligence is insistence. And that's what we see here. It's an insistence upon doing God's will. No one's going to talk us out of it. No situation's going to arise that's going to change us, to make us different, to do different. That's what we see in these examples here. Persistence and insistence on doing that which will make us approved unto God. How do we do that? It's going to take personal initiative. You can't do it for me. I can't do it for you. It's something that we have to do on our own to develop this initiative. If you will, turn with me over to the book of Philippians. I don't have this up on the screen. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. There are 6 things in this chapter that every Christian has. And I hope that if we can examine these 6 things here in Philippians 4, it will help us to develop this initiative that we're talking about. Look with me in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. What are we reading there in that verse 6? We're reading that one thing that every Christian has is the privilege of prayer. And that's what we need to understand about prayer. Prayer is not a right. You know, we hear of everything spoken of in our society today in terms of right. What's right? It's my right. Well, prayer is a privilege. It's not a right. And that's what we're reading here in this verse 6, that God has given us as Christians the privilege of prayer. Drop on down to verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. What we see in this verse is every Christian has the peace of God to keep them. Peace. What a wonderful thing. Peace of mind. Knowing that we're at peace with God. The rest of our life can be a life of turmoil, but as long as we have peace with God, that ought to be the principal, primary thing that we seek for. Because of all of the things that are troubling us in this life, when our life comes to an end, all of that's going to end. And what will be of concern with us is standing before God in the judgment. If we're not at peace with God in the judgment, then we know what awaits us. But that's what we have as a Christian. We have this peace of God to keep. Look at verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. See, as Christians, we have the pattern of others to follow. They have treaded the same path that we are treading. And so, as we look into the scriptures, as Paul says here, the things that we've learned, the things we've received, what we've seen, what we've heard, these are the things that we're to do. The pattern of what the New Testament revealed. And what are matters of individual application? What are it's in matters of the church as a collective? What it involves worship? What it involves organization? What it involves work? In every aspect, collectively and individually. Here's the pattern. And that's what we as Christians have. We have a pattern of others to follow. Look now with me at verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Every Christian has the need for this policy of contentment. And yet, this is where the world gets in the way. The world teaches us, here's what makes you content. But the fact of the matter is, and it really ought not take us long, many years in this world, to realize that the things that the world says will bring contentment are the things in that will only make discontent worse. Why? Because the world has the wrong things in mind when it comes to the things that really content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Well, that's not the definition of the world's for great gain. World's gain has everything to do with material things. The world's sense of gain has everything to do with the almighty dollar. But godliness with contentment is truly the great gain. And one thing that we have as a Christian is the policy of contentment and the policy of calm. Look at verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, every Christian has the power of Christ to strengthen them. If God is for us, who can be against us? Let God be true and every man a lie. These are just other verses that come to mind when we think of this, that it is as a Christian, we have the power of Christ to strengthen us. If we're being diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, rightly dividing or handling the right to word of truth. And then look at verse 19. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, every Christian has the promise of God to provide. Wasn't that what Jesus was teaching in Matthew 6? When he talked about the birds of the air, how did they sow, neither did they toil, but yet God feeds them. The grass of the field, it grows up, it withers, it dies. And then Jesus asked that question on one occasion. He said, are you not greater than all of these things? And so if God knows how to clothe the grass of the field and to feed the birds of the air, what about us? And the lesson was, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. So we have that promise. Every Christian has God's promise that God will provide. Are we developing personal initiative? Or are we choosing to remain a babe in Christ? Do we need to start now to develop that personal initiative? I want to read to you a poem that I came across in the closing of our study. I will do more than belong. I will participate. I will do more than care. I will help. I will do more than believe. I will practice. I will do more than be fair. I will be kind. I will do more than forgive. I will work. I will do more than earn. I will enrich. I will do more than teach. I will inspire. I will do more than give. I will serve. I will do more than live. I will grow. And I will do more than be friendly. I will be a friend. Yes, as we said to begin our study, we need and we are to take our being a Christian serious. And one of the ways that we show we are serious is by taking responsibility. And so one of those responsibilities that we've devoted our study to this evening has been the Christian's responsibility to develop personal initiative. Otherwise, we will be like those three that Jesus described, whose seed that the sower sowed fell upon. Will it be the wayside? Will it be the stony ground? Or will it be the thorny ground? Without personal initiative, we can never become that good ground, the only ground that could bring forth and did bring forth fruit unto the Lord. So this is something you and I are personally responsible for. And I hope that our study this evening has helped us to want to start now, if not already, to develop that personal initiative. No longer to remain either a babe in Christ or to remain stagnant as where we are, but to be diligent. Give all diligence add to our faith. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. If so, you need to start that trip, that path that will lead you to heaven. There's only one way, and Jesus is that way. The gate is narrow. The way is restricted. It's difficult. But the end will be eternal life. So tonight, if you're here and you're not a Christian, begin that journey. Entering through the straight gate, continue in our lives to walk the narrow way. And again, that can only be done by proving ourselves unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And when it comes to what as a Christian is all about, there's no more critical area where that we need to be rightly dividing than what we must do in order to become a Christian. Faith comes from the hearing of God's word with repenting of our sins, confessing with our mouth that Christ is the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism for the remission of sins. Our sins will be forgiven because through baptism we have atoned the blood of Christ to them. The Lord will add us to his church. Now we've entered the gate. But as a Christian, if we have failed to walk that narrow way, we need to get back on the right path. Ask for the old path. Where is the right way Jeremiah talks about? Repent of our sins as Christians if we have done those things that are contrary to God's will. If we've done things that are not approved in God's sight, repent of our sins, pray that we'll be forgiven. If you're subject and we can assist you in either of these things, please let it be known by coming to the front while together we stand to sing.